Reading from Amos chapter 5, verses 18 to 27. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melody of your harps I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Did you bring to me sacrifices and offerings during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You shall take up Succoth, your king, and Kiyum, your star god, your images that you made for yourselves, and I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts.
Terry's going to come and do the New Testament reading for us. Thanks, bro.
New Testament reading is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading from verse 13 through to chapter 5, verse 11. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and unity and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labour pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
We got it worked out at Dolby. When the last slide comes up, they put that copyright number up. So, we're finishing now, we're right. You're not waiting for the next verse to come along, or the next chorus. So. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Well, we're going to come and look at God's word. Before we do, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to open your word again today. Refresh our hearts through it and remind us how good it all is because we are your beloved children. So speak to us through it, through your word, and empower us to be encouragers of each other. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I travelled down the car by myself today, which is unusual because I'm married. And usually when husbands and wives, we always seem to go everywhere together. And one of the funny things is Shirley says, can I drive? And I've got to drive. If I'm sitting in the passenger seat, I just got to drive. Doesn't matter, I'm still driving, even if I've got the hands on the wheel. So we've got this arrangement. If she drives, I do her grocery. Oh, I don't have a clue. So she does the grocery, I drive. But coming down today, it was interesting because I was thinking about strange things. And that's what got to me. Why am I thinking that? Oh, hang on, you're preaching on it. Thinking about, and you notice I've got a bit of grey hair. Not much, but I've got a little bit of grey, so I must be getting old. And I'm thinking about coming down, all the friends that I've had, they're still friends, but they've died. And a lot of them have gone to glory. They've died knowing the Lord Jesus. And I get cranky at them. Like, we're going to do funerals for Christians. I get cranky at them as well. Because all those who have died knowing the Lord Jesus are in a better place. And I'm stuck here. In this sinful, horrible world. And then I stop and think, that's what it's all about. How good is this? Not that I'm stuck here. But here we have this wonderful promise of our Heavenly Father. And that's what this passage today is all about. How good it is for what lies before us. If you've got your Bible open, please follow along with it because we're going to jump around in it, verses everywhere, to try and drive it home, this message. It's a message that brings great joy and encouragement to every one of us who are children of God. Those who have passed away, who are believers, they're enjoying it. And we have something to look forward to. That's the exciting thing. That's how good it is to be one of God's children. And then we are told twice in this passage to encourage one another with these words. Because we can get down on ourselves. Yeah? We're losing friends. And they're going to be with the Lord. Don't like friends to pass away because they're good friends. But dying in the Lord means living in the Lord. So let's have a look at this passage. A couple of verses that jump out at us. In chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we will always be with the Lord. And then at the start of chapter 5, verse 2. But ye yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And then over at the end of the chapter, for chapter 5, 9 and 10. For the Lord has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. How good is that? This is his promise. This is what the Lord has done. And each of those is there for us. And we need to be encouraging us, encouraging each other, because this is the truth of God. The promise made by God himself restated by Jesus, this promise of eternal life for every believer. And it will be fulfilled when Jesus comes again in his glory. In John 14, Jesus promised that he was going to prepare a place for those who loved him. And he would come back for one purpose. To take us to be with him in glory. In Matthew 16, 27, 28. For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. It's in there. It's about Jesus. These two, Jesus himself quoting it and talking about Jesus in Matthew's gospel, showing that what Paul in his letter to the Thessalonians, it's not something new. It is what Jesus has talked about. And it's not even new when Jesus talks about it, because it's there in the Old Testament. That reading from Amos, and I'm sorry about the wheelbarrows that were in there for Jason. But there, that passage, one of several in the Old Testament, talks about the day of the Lord. In Amos 5, the day when God will come through his Son, Jesus. He will come as king to judge all people, his enemies. He will judge them and he will bless his faithful people. In Amos 5 and verse 20, will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark without a ray of brightness? Because when it talks about the day of the Lord in the Old Testament, it is talking about judgment. Simply that. Because the people had continued to rebel against their God. They were the ones who kept breaking covenant after covenant after covenant. The Israelites, the Jews as we see them today, failed to see because of the darkness, failed to see the promise of God. They wanted to stay in the darkness because they had rebelled against their God. They thought that they were good enough. And the Jews still think that they are good enough today. The Jews today, sorry about if you're other people, but they are still lost in darkness. The day of the Lord will come suddenly, and judgment will be dispensed. Why are the Jews still in darkness? Because of one simple little fact. They are still waiting for Jesus to come the first time. They do not believe that he came as the baby. They don't want to know the New Testament at all. So they are lost. Darkness has got them. We need to pray for them, but they are still lost. On the other hand, those who are children of the living God will be welcomed into their eternal home. That day of the Lord will not be a day of judgment, but a day of blessing. We call it, we know it, it is the hope of the resurrection. And this is what it's all about. The promises of Jesus, the promises of God through his Son. And it's reinforced through the books the letters of the New Testament. Back in our reading today, Luke chapter 4, 13 and 14. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Christ, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. And then in chapter 5, verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. God wants us to know, wants us to see the truth. There is no need to worry, to be uninformed, because we are not in the darkness. We will not be surprised when he comes, but rather, deep down, we're looking forward to that day, aren't we? We're looking forward to the day that he does come into all his glory. That is his promise. And as verse 14 of chapter 1 said, tells us, it'll be a glorious sight. When he comes, he will bring with him those believers who have already passed away, who are already enjoying. And that hope does not disappoint. So do not get caught up in trying to figure out what it's all about. What's it going to look like? When's it going to happen? You know, we live in a very strange world at the moment. There's this thing going around called AI. Now, I'm a little bit older, and I've been out in the bush for a lot, and I'm on the land for a lot, and AI to me means something completely different to what AI means to the world today. But it's taking over. I prefer the old one, not the new one. That's all right. The computers can't generate it. The AI can't predict when it's going to happen. Only God knows. And it will happen. And he will come. Our blessed Saviour, he will come. So we need to live as children of the light, giving all the glory to God in everything that we do and say and think. Live our lives totally for God. Live as children of the light, because that is who we are. It might not be easy, but we have so much to look forward to, don't we? We have so much to look forward to. How good is this? Here's this picture. Jesus returning in all his glory, bringing with him the saints who have gone before us. And how exciting. Chapter 4, verse 17 again. We've used it before. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. I'm scared of heights, so flying around the air is a bit scary for me without an aeroplane around me. But we can't picture what it's going to be like. All we know is that it's going to happen. And all that really brings joy to my heart, makes me excited and looking forward to that glorious, glorious day, is that beautiful promise right at the end of verse 17. And so we will always be with the Lord. Isn't that exciting? Always. That promise of eternal life. That promise of being with Jesus and all the saints for eternity. The righteous will be with the Lord forever. That is the promise of our God. For all who believe in Jesus. This is the assurance that God has promised through the new covenant, signed, sealed, and delivered with the precious blood of Jesus. We will be with him in glory forever. Forever with the Lord, the heavenly home. And remember from John's Gospel 14, he has gone to prepare a place for those who love him. And remember what he said, I will come back and take you to be with me that you may be there also. How good is it? How exciting it is. We have something solid to look forward to as God's children. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, then this is for you. The promise is very definitely yours, mine, for every believer. The good news. The good news continues over in chapter 5. Every believer, whether it's already passed away, who might still be living, we don't know when, will, as it says right at the end of verse 18, we might live with him. Wow. What, so much to look forward to. Live with him. The promise that Jesus made, and he will fulfill. This is the promise of Jesus, reinforcing to us in this particular passage. So let's focus on the very positive truth conveyed in these words for every single believer. We have a hope that will never disappoint us. We have security that the world cannot give us because we have Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Lord. We're not left to ponder or to worry about what might happen because we have a promise. We have a Saviour. We have a Redeemer. We have a Lord. We have our Jesus. Excuse me. We have Jesus who has gone, prepared the place, and will come back to take us to be with him there in the kingdom of glory. How good is it? Great. And what do we know? Don't keep it to yourself. Encourage each other. Encourage each other, your fellow believers, that this is the promise of our God. The joyful, great, exciting news that one day Jesus will return. Every single one of God's children will be with the Lord forever. See what we have to look forward to? We're stuck in this mess at the moment, but heaven is not a mess. It's perfect. And Jesus is going to come and take you to be with him there forever. How good is this? Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, it is exciting to be your children. We know there are days and times when it's a challenge, when it's really a difficult to face any single day. But Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us through these words that our Saviour is coming again, just as he promised, just as you declared that day of the Lord will happen. Thank you for reminding us, Heavenly Father, that we have a hope that will not disappoint us or let us down. But you have promised every single one of your children will be with the Lord forever. How good is that? So may our walk reflect the excitement that we have, the security that we have, and may we encourage one another with these very words, reminding each other that the promises you make, you fulfill. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.